Hello, my name is Brenda Atkins, and it is my pleasure to read God's Word with you today as we journey through the season of Advent and our devotional guide called Threads of Promise. Today is Friday, the 26th of December. Right now, we are focusing our attention on the promise that Christ has died as we looked at the prophecies of His birth, His death, and the stories in the Gospel that show the fulfillment of these prophecies. Today, I'll be reading Luke 23, 1 through 25, and offering devotional thoughts on the passage, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. Let us read together, remembering that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Luke 23, 1 through 25, the New International Version. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see Jesus. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. My devotion is titled, Jesus' Trials Before Pilate and Herod. Following the night of Jesus' chaotic arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was brought before the high priest for questioning, and the men holding Jesus in custody mocked him as they beat him. The chief priests consulted with the elders and the scribes, and they handed Jesus over to Pilate. They accused him of misleading the nation, refusing to pay tribute to Caesar, and claiming to be king. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Pilate saw that Jesus was innocent, but the crowd maintained their accusations. Then Pilate sent Jesus to King Herod. Herod wanted to see Jesus because he had heard about the miracles Jesus did, and he wanted to see for himself. He questioned Jesus, but Jesus did not answer him. This fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. The chief priests and the scribes continued to accuse him, so after mocking Jesus, he sent them back to Pilate. Pilate announced to the people that he found no guilt in Jesus after examining him, telling them that he did not deserve death. Herod also found nothing against him, but the crowd continued to demand that Jesus be crucified. It was customary for one prisoner to be released during the Passover. Pilate gave the crowd a choice between Jesus and the notorious murderer, Barabbas. But chief priests persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas. Pilate asked them why he should crucify Jesus since he had done no evil, but still they called out, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate gave in to their demands. He had Jesus flogged. They twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a purple robe on him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," while they beat him. Then Pilate brought Jesus before the crowd again and again told him that he found Jesus innocent. But still the crowd cried out, "Crucify him." The Jews insisted that he must die because he claimed to be God. At this, Pilate was afraid. He questioned Jesus again, but Jesus did not answer his questions. He told Pilate that it is God who gives governors their authority, and the ones who brought him to him committed a worse sin. Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the people began to accuse him of opposing Caesar, and they kept up their ceaseless demand for Jesus' crucifixion, rejecting Jesus as their king and claiming loyalty to Caesar. Pilate told the crowd, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Pilate asked the question that requires each of us to answer. Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And in another place, Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call King of the Jews?" Washing our hands will not take away our sin guilt. Only by believing the Son of God, Jesus Christ, paid our guilt debt by his death on the cross, can we be reconciled to God. May our hearts be more humble and thankful each time we read or hear the crucifixion story. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all you endured on our behalf through your death. Thank you for paying for the debt of our sin and the guilt on the cross. Thank you for the hope of our reconciliation. Remind us of our humility and our dependence upon you. Amen.